Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Community Conversations here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler. Today is our annual Reason for the Season talk with local pastors about the meaning of Christmas. This special time of year raises many good feelings for us, but as well can bring stresses and sadness and can certainly be overshadowed by the commercial aspects of the holiday. We explore all that and more today with Pastor Lori Morton of First Lutheran Church, Father Sliva Raju of St. Joseph's Catholic Church, and Pastor Eric Rust of Cedar Hills Church. It's a good talk with their insights into the true meaning of Christmas. As we're currently not broadcasting live shows from our small KRFY studio as a precaution against the coronavirus, this show was recorded via Zoom on Tuesday. You'll hear later in the talk an idea that Pastor Lori brought up, addressing this difficult year when many community and family gatherings for Christmas are on hold due to the coronavirus. Keying off community events that a number of cities across the nation are staging at the same hour, Pastor Morton has suggested a time on Christmas Eve for everyone, no matter where you are, to share in singing the classic Christmas carol, Silent Night. The time for the community sing in concert locally, as well with other communities around the whole country, is 4:30 p.m. our local time on Christmas Eve. Those of us at KRFY like the idea so much that we're scheduling that time, 4:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve, to broadcast a rendition of Silent Night to accompany all who would like to take part in the community singing of that beautiful Christmas carol. So this is everyone's invitation to put on your calendar and take those few minutes right at 4:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve to join in singing Silent Night. You can do it outside, on your porch, in your house, while you're driving in your car, wherever you happen to be. And you can tune in right here on 88.5 KRFY for our broadcast of the carol. So we hope everyone can join in and share in singing Silent Night on Christmas Eve. And as Pastor Lori says, let's see if we can fill the night with music and light. And now with that, we're on with our talk on the true meaning of Christmas with our three local pastors. Please enjoy.
We're talking now with three local pastors. We have with us Pastor Eric Rust with Cedar Hills Church. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Chris.
Pastor Lori Morton with First Lutheran Church. Hello, Pastor Lori.
Hello.
And Father Sliva Raju with St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Father Sliva, hello.
Hi.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today. And I'd like to start out with a little bit of information about each of you, how you wound up in Sandpoint, and tell us a little bit about your church that you pastor. Why don't we start with you, Pastor Rust?
Well, thanks, Chris. Yeah, Eric Rust and Pastor Cedar Hills Church. And we have been a part of the Sandpoint community now for almost 20 years. We started in 2001. My wife, Nicole, grew up here in town. And so we moved back, started in our living room, and have been holding on for 19 years, enjoying the wild ride. Non-denominational church that just believes that the full life Jesus offers us is something every person should experience. And so we do our best to offer that to people of every possible age.
And Cedar Hills is located actually in Kootenai on McGee Road, right?
Yep, right next to where Lighthouse has their corporate office across from the Lignetics log factory where they make all those Presto logs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 227 McGee Road.
And Pastor Lori Morton with First Lutheran Church, tell us a little bit about yourself and your church.
Yes, I have been here now just a little over 5 years. I arrived in September of 2005, and I must admit that I had not heard of Sandpoint, Idaho until the bishop I'm part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, so the bishops try to match pastors with congregations similar interests and needs, And I also, the first time I arrived here, did not have the bridge experience that everybody describes, because it was one of those really foggy February weekends. And but I fell in love with the place and the people, and thankful to be here. And I'm First Lutheran Church on Olive Avenue, and a lot of people know our ministry, Luther Park, which is the assisted living and memory care facility. So, yes.
Yeah, very important part of our town. And Father Sliva, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You're the newest one here, so and you have a long story, I bet.
So, yeah, I have been here almost 6 months now. I came here on 1st of July, 2020. And before, I was in Grangeville, St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church for a year. And before me in Sandpoint, Father Dennis Day was here and he retired. Then Bishop Peter asked me to replace him here in this big church. And it really is a beautiful place. And this is the first time for me to come to north of Idaho. And I never thought this would be this much beautiful place here. And I'm happy to be here in this faith community here. And I think this faith community here is, I think, the oldest church, Catholic church here. And recently, I think in 2009, they built this beautiful church, South Lincoln Avenue here. And so the people are very good and very cooperative, very loving. And they accept me very well here, even though I am from India. And so it's wonderful to be here with the people, with this faith community here.
Well, welcome to town is our newest arrival.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's get on to today's topic. As I mentioned earlier, this is our, what we call it, our Reason for the Season show. We've done this every year for the past five, maybe 6 years. And it's an opportunity to talk about, you know, what's the real meaning of Christmas. Christmas can get really obscured in all the commercialism and emotions that it raises for some people, the anxiety and different things. But it is, at its base, it's a celebration of the birth of Christ. And I wanted to start out with you three pastors who probably think about this more than just about anybody. With the question, what is the meaning of Christmas to you personally? And why don't we start with you, Pastor Eric?
Yeah, for me, Christmas is really this annual reminder that's built into our calendar. It's built into our rhythm. Hopefully it happens more than just once a year where we're reminded of this. But this reality of what sometimes we call Emmanuel, God with us, this idea that God, as we sometimes like, you know, we think of him as like in the heavens somewhere far, far off. We think of him floating on a cloud, watching from a distance. But Christmas tells us, no, that God is actually close. He's among us. He dwells among us. Through Christmas, or through his son on Christmas, that Jesus entered into our world, invaded our time and space, and revealed God to us in a way that we needed desperately to experience. And so when I come into the Christmas celebration, just personally, as an individual, I'm reminded that that Jesus is God with me every single day throughout the year, and that I get to live in that reality on a regular basis.
Good. Thank you. Pastor Lori, same question to you. What is the meaning of Christmas to you personally as an individual?
Yes. Well, a lot of the memories of what have shaped me over the years have been coming up this year, things of both that I miss but also have fed me. And part of this built-in rhythm is that I had family members that lived in Germany when I was a child, and they would send an Advent calendar from Germany with German chocolates. And it actually was the Christmas story, not Santa Claus, but with the nativity scene on it. And just that discipline of one door at a time. And I really do personally live into more of the Advent feel of this time, the waiting, the deep blues of hope. And as I became a pastor, I was okay with the fact of, which is a wrestling with culture of having all the Christmas music and all of the rushing into it. And the Lutheran and I think Catholic patterns is more of a settling into the pre-dawn. And so I also am one not to play a whole lot of Christmas music. before Christmas Eve. I know, countercultural. And I really loved it when I was in Nebraska. That's where I was before I came to Sandpoint. Was I had a 8.5 to 9 hour drive on Christmas Day that I just turned on the radio, and every station all across Nebraska and eastern Colorado, every style you can imagine. And I just play it for 8.5, 9 hours straight and celebrate the gift of this new beginning.
So now we call that binge listening, right?
Right.
Because we have binge watching before video, so that's binge listening right there.
Exactly. Yeah. Sing boldly in the car, and my dog in the back, and make our way across, and thankful that a couple gas stations are open so I can take a pause along the way. But yeah, that's shifted, and I'm sure that we'll talk more about that, the rest of the patterns that we are in now in North Idaho and pandemic, so.
And Father Sliva, tell us what the true meaning of Christmas is for you.
Yeah, Christmas is there. I mean, it is personally, I love Christmas because this is my 25th year of Christmas celebration as a pastor. And every year, it is something new to me. It brings something newness in me. And realization of my life and realization of the human life and how God came to this world. He himself took flesh, lived with us, and is living with us. And he suffered like an ordinary man. And that is the humility God has taken. He came down to us to give us the salvation. So, through Jesus, we have the salvation. And he came to us. And it brings every good tidings every year. It is not the same every year. It is every year is different. The newness, the happiness, and the joy. That is the greatest thing I feel in my life every year for every Christmas.
Well, that's a good segue to a follow-up question here. You know, Christmas does inspire special feelings in a lot of people of peace and joy and happiness that they don't necessarily feel at other times of the year. I just wonder if there is some way that any thoughts you might have on how that aspirations of Christmas might be extended longer, further into our lives, not just some period of time, a few weeks around December 25th, and maybe give us a few ideas on what the Bible might think about that. See, why don't we start with you, Pastor Lori, and we'll mix it up.
No, it is one of my things that I struggle with because I've waited and really do unleash the 12 days of Christmas with Christmas Day and I'm putting my sister on the spot here, but oftentimes I'll call her up the day after or so, and she's already taken all the Christmas decorations down, and she's just thankful that she got through it. And so, yes, I think that because so much gets packed into that short period of time, how can we lift up those gifts, as you said, they last and they're with us and they never go away. And they're enough for us. The peace, the hope, the joy, the love, those are gifts of the Spirit and they're needed. And they're found in unlikely places like mangers and moments of a mother with a child. And yes, that can be celebrated in small moments and big moments throughout the year.
Father Sliva, what would your thoughts be on that? What are ways we can extend this period of goodwill and peace and happiness that a lot of people experience around Christmas more profoundly than they do other times of the year?
Yeah. So most of us and many of us, when we think about Christmas, mostly we think about material things and so on. And for me, I say, I said also, it is every year it is something new. And every year for Christmas, and I was talking with my faith community here, this is the season of Advent. So my theme is Advent and attitudes. So at least if we can change some of our bad attitudes by Christmas to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and changing of your attitude, that gives you more joy. And if you're able to continue the changing of attitude into good virtues, and that will give you the more happiness and righteousness in the life, and you will cherish that happiness longer, and it will be always with you.
Pastor Eric, what are your thoughts on extending goodwill just past Christmas?
Yeah, I think that's what our world needs, right? Is there's a spirit of generosity that, I mean, first of all, North Idaho, there's generally a spirit of generosity in this community, in this region, that is, I've heard many, many people from other parts of the U.S. talk about it. It's unparalleled. I mean, there's such a giving heart. And that comes out even more this time of year. But to have that same heart of others-mindedness and selflessness drive us, you know, kind of come through us all year long, I think would be such a wonderful thing. And so, you know, this reality, to go back to it again, of God with us, you know, because really Jesus is the center of what Christmas is. And you think about what Jesus came to bring, and the word hope comes to mind. Hope is probably on short supply for lots of folks this year. We're a little more tired than we've normally been, probably going into Christmas. We're beat down. We're not going to have the same experience that we maybe normally have with family and friends. And so for me, that reality, like it talks about in the Gospel of John and in the Bible, of, you know, God leaving heaven and moving into the neighborhood through Jesus, that he's with me. And when Jesus came that first Christmas, it wasn't a one day celebration and then he was gone. He lived for 33 years. And so this idea of Jesus's continual presence with me, and the hope and encouragement that gives, not just to help me sustain what I'm going through, but it actually becomes, his life becomes a model for me to follow in terms of what it looks like for me to love others and to put others above myself 365 days a year, not just on December 25th. That's a spirit that I think would greatly benefit all of us if we adopted it, including myself. Man, if I could live that out more, the people in my life would probably be very, very grateful.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot more to the story of Christ than just being born, of course. But I have to say, I have been blessed this year with a new baby granddaughter. And
congratulations.
And the thought occurred to me that holding my little granddaughter, who's a little over 2 months old now, that holding an infant inspires hope and peace and joy. And maybe that's part of the Christmas experience, is, you know, Christ in the nativity, and Christ is an infant. It represents this special human attribute of goodwill and happiness and all the best things that might come in our lives. I'm just throwing that out there, because when I hold that little baby, I'm like, yeah, this is where it's at.
Yeah. Well, it's vulnerability and it's trust. And that is also what God shows us at this Christmas time, is God trusts us enough to come and be born into our arms, and that we will be good stewards of this gift and let that light shine through us. So yes, and babies bring that out more than anything else. I mean, joy immediately. You look into a baby's face and there's a smile.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're amazing. Yeah. So let's segue into this particular year, which has been so difficult for so many people. And even for people that haven't felt necessarily financial hardship, the coronavirus has created a really strange paradigm. We're separated from our friends and our family in many ways. And then on top of that, we had this really, really fractious election, and things just kind of seems to be going bonkers in some respects. And let's start with you, Pastor Eric. Is there anything we can bring from this time of year, this season, to this particular time we're living in that we can maybe tell ourselves, here's a lesson that we can apply to either grief or strife or feeling from the times.
You know, as you were setting that up, I immediately went to one of the ways that Jesus is described in the Bible. It talks about how when God became human through Christ, we can know that God understands what we go through because he's gone through the same journeys and experiences that we've been through. He knows what it means to be tempted, that Jesus experienced loss in his life, people that he loved who died. He saw sickness all around him. We don't get a lot of details about his family, but he lived in an imperfect family with brothers and sisters. Anybody with a brother or sister knows like what it's like to fight with your siblings. And like he understood all of that. And so the idea of Jesus meeting us where we are, I think could be a great reminder to us to meet each other where we are. Now is a time where I think simple skills like listening, empathy, understanding, kind of coming alongside of one another, that is such a different posture than demanding to be heard, raising my voice. I just think that the way of Jesus is one of coming alongside, understanding, and kind of journeying in someone else's shoes. And it's what makes, I think, Jesus so profound and the most influential person in history, is that he relates to us in that regard. So for me, that jumped out is now is a time. This is a season with all the division going on for me to enter into someone else's story, to listen, to understand, and to validate where they are and to meet them there.
Father Sliva, do you have thoughts on this? It's been a really tough year for a lot of people, and a lot of people are kind of at each other's throats even, they have been this year. How can we apply the teachings of Christ more generally, or this time of year with Christmas more specifically to this year?
Yeah, this year is something special actually with this pandemic, and I see how the people are suffering with this, and sometimes some people, they cannot go out, and maybe financially they have some problems, and because of this virus, they have problems, and maybe in the families, they have some sufferings and trials. And I can say all these trials and sufferings in this pandemic, or even if this pandemic is not here, these are part and parcel of our life. And I think if we look into the life of Jesus from the time he was born in the manger, and the hardships he faced in his life, and being with the poor people all the time, seeing all the sick people, and he has the compassion, and he has the consolation for them, and he cried with them, he suffered with them. So when we compare our sufferings with the sufferings of Jesus as a human being on this earth, he suffered a lot. So our sufferings are nothing. So just let us follow Lord Jesus' footsteps, take everything into our lives, and let us keep ourselves happy, and whatever comes to us, that will come through the hands of Jesus, through the mercy of Jesus. So the mercy of Jesus is always with us, and the compassion and consolation of Jesus is always with us. So just trust in him, take everything into life, and try to be happy and celebrate the Christmas with happiness.
I'll tell you, that is certainly a lesson that I try to apply myself. And in fact, to boil it down, you know, when you're in a tough situation, or a questionable situation, or a stressful situation, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? That's always a good check for me. Pastor Lori?
Well, talking with colleagues this morning and just trying to make it through, it feels a little bit like sludge some days with the pandemic. And I've really identified with the time of exile in the Old Testament, and really in the time in which Jesus came into, the challenges that people were facing right then. They were yearning deeply for light and hope, and I think other Advent seasons, oh yeah, waiting, whatever, but this year, for the first time, you know, we've been in this for basically the length of a pregnancy, 9 months, that waiting, and we're still waiting. I mean, yes, we have hope of a vaccine and maybe two more, 3 more months, but this exile and how much is out of my control, and I keep trying to fix and control and help people and give them more to give them more hope. And I'm realizing more is not better. That actually one little flickering light, Jesus is the light of the world. And that good news has been preached for centuries. And really, if you read the Bible, the New Testament, that good news is what Peter preached and Paul preached, kept pointing back to Jesus being born and giving his life, and that is enough. And so trust that. And so that's stop trying to control things, mm-hmm. lamenting all the things we can't do, lean into the light.
Thank you. Father Steve, I want to go back to a comment you mentioned, that Jesus was basically born into poverty. He was born in a manger.
Yep.
And very, I'm sure times were just more simple there anyways. And now Christmas is this vast sea of commercialization. You see it. It starts in some stores before Halloween even hits us. And people get caught up in that. Do you have any insights into how people can avoid getting caught up into just this commercialization of Christmas and the feeling you got to buy bigger, better presents, and that's what it's about?
So, yeah, they make it so much of commercialization because it's many times, see, that depends upon the families. They concentrate more on buying good gifts to family members, to others, and so on. But personally, I don't know. I'm not a person to buy a great gift and give to others. Rather than, I want them to live in faith, through faith in Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior. He came to this world for us. And first, you should put that insight in others. Then whatever the material gift you buy and give, they may... all those are perishable. We have some, maybe somebody gave me some gifts last year, but I don't have them now here. But what remains with me is the good word, what they say to me, the good help, or I can say inner, or the spiritual way, how they lead us, that will keep us to walk in righteousness, in the right path, and good life. So good life does not mean having many material things, but good life is always the way we live, the parents, how they show their example and model to their children and to your friends. So that way we should go. But unfortunately, this has gone different way, more of commercialization. I don't know. I personally feel sad about it, but I'm not blaming not to buy gifts. Okay, you can buy and give if you have money. But at the same time, when you see the other side of the world, there are many people, those who are dying of hunger and not able to celebrate Christmas. So let us do something different way, the Christmas, that will keep us happy and keep the other side of the world, or even in our own country, the poor people, to be happy.
Pastor Eric, what are your thoughts on this vast infrastructure that we've built, commercial infrastructure that we've built around Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, I'm grateful for the bump it gives to small businesses in our community. You know, that's always, I know it's a big part of their, annual income stream, which is awesome. I think it does create a challenge, though, for us, right? Sometimes as people, we have a hard time juggling multiple priorities. And so it's easy to lose track of what's really most important and start to kind of lose focus. Maybe many of you have heard the great theologian, his name was the Grinch. His classic line of Christmas came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes and bags. And And then he asked the question, what if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps is a little bit more? And I think it's an issue of priority. And so what we try to do in our family with our three kids is, you know, we enjoy sharing gifts with each other. We enjoy including our kids in that experience. And we center ourselves on what the experience really is about so that those are meaningful experiences of the holiday season, but that's not what Christmas is at all to us. It's the celebration of course, the birth of our Savior. And so I think it just requires intentionality from moms and dads to be thoughtful as we help our kids understand the more important stuff. And then I think there's room for us to enjoy some of the other things that come along with this time of year.
Pastor Lori, your thoughts on the commercialization of Christmas?
Yeah, you quoted The Grinch. I've been watching those shows with our confirmation students, those good old classics, you know, Charlie Brown and for the first time, I actually listened to the song of the Whoville, the Who's down in Whoville, when they wake up the next morning and they start singing. And one of the lines is, Christmas comes as long as we have we, in the lyrics of that. And then in Africa, I get off on tangents, I apologize. But there is Ubuntu in Africa where we are because Christ is, I am because we are, and we are because Christ is. And so it is that piece that Christ comes to show us that really, what this is all about is the ways in which we can reach out to each other and that we have each other. One of the other traditions that my family, I have lots of cousins, bigger family on my dad's side than my mom's side, and we exchange names instead of giving everyone gifts. And several years back, we switched it to giving to the charities, the causes that are most important to us. And so that has been a powerful way for us to witness and live more into both the receiving of love and then giving that love away by giving each other the gift to charity.
Yeah, Lori, I appreciate you saying that. I think every single one of us need to find a way to give of ourselves. And that could be gifts of time, could be gifts of relationship, and it could be monetary gifts that we give to other people or organizations that that we believe in and support. So I think there's something all of us can do this time of year to kind of capture that true spirit of generosity. And I'm not giving a gift to someone because they're going to return it to me. I'm doing it because I want to invest in something that's bigger than me and make this world a better place. We try that every year to do that as a church. We do kind of a Christmas offering, and it's for that very spirit you just identified. So thanks for bringing that up.
Welcome.
Well, one other thing I want to explore is kind of the flip side of Christmas. We feel peace and joy often, many of us, but there's no question that for many, Christmas is a time of sorrow because they're remembering the loved ones that they've lost. Or it can be a time of anxiety because they don't feel like they have enough money to buy the right gifts for their kids. There's a lot of stresses that come along with Christmas. And Father Sleeper, why don't you start out on this one? What words do you have for people who are coping with sadness or anxiety during this time of year?
Yeah, some people, of course, because of their financial problems and they feel sad that they are not able to buy gifts for their children. But here in my parish as the faith community, and we try to see the families, especially those who are really suffering financially. We support them and we have the giving tree and we buy some gifts from the people, and people, they share those gifts to the people, those who are not able to buy their gifts. So that way we bring the unity and harmony and happiness in our faith community. And we see that in our faith community, everyone, every family should be happy.
Pastor Lori, what are your words for somebody that's coping with feelings of sadness or anxiety or depression even?
Yes. I think I've held a Blue Christmas liturgy in the past of because I think it's important to name it and not pretend that it's not there. And I also have found that the Christmas carols themselves were born out of people's grief and struggle. So like It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, there's several verses there that invite us to sit along the road. I'm not quoting it correctly, but to rest and listen to the angels sing. So it's for this very reason, our grief, our loss, that God sent us Jesus to bring healing and bind up the brokenhearted, to release the captives. And so I think if we can't name that brokenness, then how can they be released?
Pastor Eric, same question to you.
Yeah, I had a teary moment the other night listening to a song that my mom sent me that just about my dad. My dad, I think it was 5 Christmases ago, was in a hospice house and was just in his last few days of life. He died on the 28th of December. And so this month brings emotion for my family and for me. So it was the first time I experienced that a loss in that significant of a way. And those emotions come when you least expect it. So I would encourage those of us that are having those feelings this time of year, just to remind ourselves of a couple things. Number one is I'm okay. I'm normal. Grief and loss is not something we will ever escape in this life. And when I sometimes don't know what to do with that grief, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with me. It really means there's something right with me. A friend told me that the grief isn't a sign of what's wrong with you or a sign of what's right with you. We grieve because we love. And so embracing that, not ignoring that, and just owning it for what it is, I think is an important thing for all of us to do. So that's the first thing I would say is own it. And then second of all, if you can find a way to talk about it. I had a friend who met with me right after my dad died and during the Christmas, it was I guess the first week of the new year. And he just said, Eric, tell me about your dad. And I got to just talk. And it was so cathartic for me just to process, but I never forgot the power of that simple question my friend asked me, tell me about your dad. And I think if we can find ways to give each other permission to just tell the story, it might provide someone a wonderful opportunity just to verbalize and find some solace and some healing in a very difficult time of year.
Yes. Look for someone to lend a shoulder to if they need it this time of year. Well, I think that we've probably come near the end here. I do want to get around to each of you and ask what your churches are planning for Christmas services. But any other thoughts on Christmas and the true meaning of Christmas that anybody wants to offer here? Well, then let's start with Pastor Lori. What kind of services will First Lutheran Church have? And I know we're in an awful strange time right now with the COVID virus.
We are, because it is one of my favorite services. It's the place is full and the music is over the top, and that just is not going to be practical this year. And so to be faithful, we are coming up with a plan B that's still in the works. It will be something online. But the other piece is that I hope that there's a way in which the community can connect. And this is not an original idea to me, but I'm hoping at 5 o'clock, for those who may not be in official services, we can go out on our porches and bring a candle or some other form of light, or to a window like our Luther Park residents, open it up and all sing Silent Night at the same time together at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock on Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Yeah, in Minneapolis, they have connected with NPR, and NPR, I didn't quite learn this fast enough, they're doing it 6:30 Central Time, but Anyway, so yeah, that's one, there, one yeah. of the thoughts of ways in which we can sing and sing safely, and also realize that we're not alone, that the night is filled with the chorus, the angel singing.
And if they want to catch a service online, what is your website?
It is firstlutheransandpoint.org.
Okay.
So firstlutheransandpoint.org.
Okay. Father Sliva, what does St. Joseph's Catholic Church have?
Yeah, since we have the bigger church, there is no problem for us for the social distancing. So I have the Mass at 4 o'clock on 24th evening, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and midnight, and Christmas Day at 10 a.m. So I have the four Masses. And 24th evening, 6 p.m. Mass, I have the children to play the Christmas playlet before the Mass. So for that Mass, probably I may have more number. But otherwise, I have four services, 24th evening, 4 p.m., 6 p.m., and midnight, and Christmas Day at 10 a.m. And we are not having anything online, but probably I am thinking to record it and put it on St. Joseph's Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Pastor Eric from Cedar Hills Church, what do you have planned?
Yeah, I'm with Lori, and I'm sure Father Sliva, Christmas Eve is just like every, I love that night. The extrovert in me loves it, right? The the pastor, college kids are back, family members. And this particular year is a unique year. And so we are modifying our plan. And so what we're going to do, we have kind of two offerings that we're offering. One is we're going to provide on Christmas Eve four online experiences, one at 2, 3, 4, and 5 o'clock. And you can access those at cedarhillschurch.com is the best way. There's a button you can go to that either gives you our online portal or connects you to our Christmas information. So that's available four times on Christmas Eve. And then it's going to be available on demand afterwards. So if families want to use that as a 30-minute experience on Christmas Day, they can watch it at their convenience. And then at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, we're going to do something new. We're going to meet actually at the entrance to our building in our parking lot at 227 McGee Road and just have what we're calling Christmas carols. So it'll probably be no more than 30 minutes. We're going to bundle up. Hopefully it'll be snowing. That would be wonderful if it's snowing, big snowflakes. And we're going to sing some songs, share the Christmas story, and just have a community experience outdoors, which we think will be a lot of fun. And then we can all climb back in our warm cars and drink our hot cocoa and head home. So all of that, again, is accessible at cedarhillschurch.com. You can click on the Christmas link.
Well, thank you, Pastor Eric Rust with Cedar Hills Church, Pastor Lori Morton with First Lutheran Church, and Father Sliva Raju with St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Great talk. Really appreciated getting your thoughts on the most special time of year.
Thank you, Chris. Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
That's it for our show today. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to Community Conversations on 88.5 KRFY and our discussion on the meaning of Christmas with Pastors Eric, Lori, and Sliva. I'm Chris Bessler. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. for more Community Conversations. If you happen to miss all or part of a show, remember you can hear the recorded podcast on our website at www.krfy.org and click to our podcast page. One more reminder if you missed it at the top of the show. Pastor Lori's idea for a community singing of Silent Night on Christmas Eve has taken hold with just a tweak to the time to 4:30 p.m. So wherever you and your family and friends are at 4:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve, take a few minutes to share in singing Silent Night. We'll be broadcasting a rendition of it here on KRFY right at 4:30 p.m., and you can use that to accompany your singing. Thanks for listening today, and from all of us at KRFY, have a merry and dear Christmas.